We'll get there in just a moment. Let me follow up with some of the things that have been shared already. I appreciate so much your faithfulness to the Lord and your giving spirit. It was my desire to challenge the church to go above and beyond what we had done in previous years in our missions offering and the Christmas offering that we send out to all of our missionaries. And in previous years, we've sent $50, then we sent $75, and then $100. And I will acknowledge before everyone that I was less than full of faith in this endeavor. And in meeting with our church leadership and talking with different ones, they said, hey, why don't we put the challenge to the people and see what the Lord would do? And so I said, okay, here's the challenge. Church, we'll give out of our faith promise missions account the $100 for Christmas, but I want to try to raise the additional $100, and we'll send $200 to each one of our missionary families for Christmas. And that's quite an undertaking, and we needed $26,000 to make that happen. And we would do the rest out of our faith promise, and lo and behold, you went above and beyond. And you'll see there in your bulletin, through the spirit of the giving hearts of FBT, you gave $50,000 towards that missionary gift. And so all of our missionaries received a Christmas gift, and it is double what we'd ever done before. And so shame on me for not having enough faith that God could abundantly, above all expectation, meet that need. And so I do pray that all of our missionaries have been blessed and that they've received the blessings from the Lord. And I believe that that is fruit that abounds to your account. And I'm so thankful for what God has done through you and excited for this coming year. And so I don't know what God will do in the coming 2024 Christmas, but we've got a year to save towards it, right? But that's so exciting to me to see, to be a blessing. And I tell you what, it is one of the areas that we almost, you'd be just amazed. To me, it's $100 or $200, but missionary after missionary after missionary after missionary respond and are just full of gratitude. And I'm so thankful for your spirit on that and meeting above and beyond anything that I could ask or think. And God directing through you. I've got to tell you this. This will bring a warm heart to my dear friend, Brother Phil. Brother Rose and I have a tremendous friendship, and it goes beyond his love of the Dallas Cowboys. And I said, of all weeks for him to be here and preaching, and he said, I'll just love to be in the area and just breathe in the Dallas Cowboy atmosphere of the Washington area. And I just tell you, I'm just so thankful that they're not playing the Redskins today. They're playing some junior high team that is now involved with the NFL. No, but I think of so many. Joseph. For years, Joseph and I have now interacted because of the Academy of Arts, and I'll never forget the first time I saw Joseph with his big Cowboys jacket on. I just do not understand that. You folks that are from this area, well, I do understand it. We're pathetic. So you go and you look for somebody that's better. I do understand that. But that's Christian love, Brother Rose. When your love transcends, you know, the hatred for the Cowboys. I mean, the dislike for the Cowboys. So there's just not much to cheer for right now. We've had 30 years of misery. So anyway, that's why I preached this morning, my hope is Jesus, right? Amen. That's right. That's what we need, right? Take your Bibles, Romans chapter 15. Look with me, if you would, in verse number 13. I'll get off all the shenanigans and move on to the important things. Romans chapter 15, if you find verse 13, let me just read to you a little bit of background. Verse number 1, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. You go down a little bit further, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse number 9, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, for this cause I will confess thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. And again he saith, rejoice ye Gentiles with his people. We come down to verse number 13. The Bible says, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." There are challenges for unity. There are challenges for unity in any body of believers because we come from a wide, varied background. We come from a lot of different thoughts and opinions. And we gather around a common book that trumps everything else, or that ought to trump everything else. So no matter my cultural background, no matter my country and background, we've come together in this place at this time, and God desires for us to have wonderful unity. Perhaps you've been in a place before that did not have unity. And let me just tell you, folks, it's no fun at all. I've been in a place for a few months where there was a wrestling match over unity and whether or not we would have unity as a body of believers. But we come down as the Apostle Paul is encouraging folks to be unified and to be of one mind. Here is the verse that is the thrust behind that unity. The God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. When we read of hope in the Word of God, it's not like me saying, "I hope that my team will win the championship." That could go any direction. It's not like me saying, when I've got tickets to King's Dominion, "I hope it doesn't rain tomorrow." I'm hoping about something that may or may not come true. Our hope in Almighty God is as though it has already occurred. Because our God is the same beginning to end. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He already knows how it's all going to come to pass. And I declare to you this morning that as we read through the Word of God, we find these kinds of adjectives for our hope. Assuring hope. Anchoring hope. Lively hope. Rejoicing hope. Blessed hope. Purifying hope, immutable hope, and uniting hope. There are many more that we could point to, but my desire this morning is to encourage and to challenge you over this theme, "My hope is Jesus." Would you notice number one with me in the very outset of this verse, the author of hope. The author of hope. The Bible says in the opening words, "Now the God of hope." That's much different than saying that there's any man that could bring us hope, or any team that could bring us hope, or any entity that could bring us hope. The truth of the matter is, God is the author of hope. If we took time to go back into the Old Testament, we find that in Genesis chapter 3, and verse number 15, when everything there in the garden had gone from being wondrously filled with light to being now filled with a darkness because of the sin of mankind, through that darkness God gave hope and said the seed of woman will ultimately defeat Satan. Genesis chapter 3 in verse number 15. As we come out of the darkness of the flood and Genesis chapter 6 into Genesis chapter 9, and the darkness of what had filled the heart of all of mankind. And it was exceedingly wicked, so much so that Almighty God said, "I cannot believe this is the status of the world, and I will destroy them from off the face of the earth." But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. In the midst of all of that difficulty and darkness in Genesis chapter 9, God came through and gave hope. And said, "I will do right by all mankind." Exodus chapter 3, when everything seemed to be so darkened and difficult there in the land of Egypt. And with every passing day, the Pharaoh became more hardened to his attitude and hatred of the Jews. And everything that he did, Almighty God shone through with hope and said to Moses, "I will deliver my people out of the Egypt land." When all hope seemed to be lost, as the Israelites gathered on one mountainside, and the Philistines gathered on another mountainside. As they were there in this valley between them, and day after day, Goliath came out and gave them this challenge. Send out a man. If he be victorious, we will be your servants. If we are victorious, you will be our servants. And day after day after day, the darkness grew. But out of that darkness came a man, a boy, a shepherd. And as he stepped forward, God brought hope out of darkness. Elijah, the great prophet, had lost hope in his battle with the prophets and with the minions of Baal. He'd lost hope, and in 1 Kings chapter 19, he said, God, there's no reason to leave me here on this earth. Go ahead, take my life, end it now, take me home. And even through the darkness of those days in Elijah's life, even through the darkness of Ahab and Jezebel and their wickedness in leading the kingdom, God delivered hope and said that there were still thousands that had not bowed the knee. Hezekiah and the southern kingdom appeared to be all but assured defeat. The Assyrians had run roughshod over country after country after country. And it seems as though now, with all of their profane spirit and their hatred of Jehovah, that they will now be victorious over the southern kingdom. And in the darkness of the hour, Hezekiah merely takes the letter from Sennacherib and lays it before Almighty God and says, Dear God, this is what they're saying about you. Would you like to speak now on our behalf? And through the darkness of that time for the southern kingdom, the Bible says God delivered hope. And that whole army of Sennacherib woke up dead men, if you would. Out of the darkness of 400 years of silence, from the end of the book of Malachi to the beginning of the book of Matthew, hundreds and hundreds of years longer than our nation has been in existence, there's been no open vision that has been given. God finished the Old Testament with the book of Malachi, and now nothing for all these centuries. And out of all of that darkness comes an Old Testament prophet, a New Testament preacher. And he says to the people, Behold the Lamb of God. When it appeared as though the darkness had filled the land, when it appeared as though darkness had filled God's people, from all of that shone forth the hope from Almighty God. We serve the God of all hope. What is this hope? It is calm assurance that the same God that has done what was necessary in the past is the same God that is at work in the present and that will be in work in the future. I know God is there. Is it a health need this morning? He's the God of hope. Is there a financial need this morning? He's the God of hope. Is there a church need this morning? He's the God of hope. Is there a spiritual need this morning? He's the God of hope. I listened to the account of an individual who just experienced their car catching on fire. And you and I would agree, if our car caught on fire, that would be a bad thing. We'd lose everything in the car. We might escape with our life. We might think this is the worst day ever. This individual experienced the loss of that vehicle. The car caught on fire, but they happened to have a specific kind of mug in their car, and that mug did not burn. Everything else in the car burned. That mug did not burn. When they called that company and said, hey, your mug did not burn, and now they have the testimony of that mug. And listen to it, there was still ice in that mug after that car had burned. That company was so enamored with that story that they not only sent her as many mugs as she would like to have, but you know what? They sent her a brand new car. Now, don't go light your car on fire today, put the mug in there and do anything like that. But I'm telling you what, you would think to yourself, this is the most horrific day ever. And they burn like a 1992 Yugo, and they sent her a brand new Mercedes. I don't know what it was. But you say, no, this is the worst day. No, With the God of hope, He's always at work. And He knows the beginning from the end. He knows exactly what you need. I was reading the account of a story. Again, it's amazing because this to me seems like it was just yesterday, but I know this is many years ago. One Friday, the day after Thanksgiving, the football game kicked off shortly after 2:30 p.m. The Miami Hurricanes were favored by 6 points. Boston College jumped out to an early 14-0 lead in the first quarter before quarterback Bernie Kosar and Miami stormed back to tie. The two quarterbacks played a phenomenal game, and they combined to be 59 for 84 for 919 yards and 5 touchdown passes. At the end of the 3 quarters, the game was tied at 31, and the fourth quarter had multiple lead changes. With 28 seconds left, Boston College trailed 45 to 41. They made 3 quick plays, and they gained 32 yards, taking the Eagles from their own 20-yard line to the Hurricanes' 48-yard line. With just 6 seconds left on the clock, Doug Flutie called this play in the huddle. 55, flood, tip. The receivers were to run straight routes into the end zone and then tip the football to another receiver. And so in the play, Flutie snapped the ball, scrambled to his right, narrowly averting a sack. He threw the football from his own 37, requiring a 5-foot, 10-inch quarterback to throw the ball at least 63 yards against a 30-mile-per-hour wind after having already thrown the football 45 times during the game. The Miami Hurricanes defensive backs doubted his ability to throw the football into the end zone, and they paid no attention to his wide receiver, Phelan, as he ran behind them. The ball came straight down over the mass of players, untouched into Phelan's arms for the 47-45 win, and we all look back and say, what a tremendous Hail Mary. Do you know, my friend, God has never thrown a Hail Mary. There's never been a time in the first quarter of the game that He's been behind. There's never been a time in the second quarter that He's been behind. There's never been a time in the third quarter that He's been behind. And by the way, can I say this to you? I think we're in the fourth quarter. Jesus is coming at any time. And my friend, Jesus is not going to have to throw a Hail Mary to straighten things out because He has it all under control. He is, number one, the author of hope, the God of hope. Would you notice number two with me? The attributes of hope. The Bible says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. Oh, this is going to change the vernacular of a lot of people, because if you're miserable, you're revealing you're not living with hope. This is going to change the vernacular of a lot of people, because if you're walking around saying everything around me is a soap opera and everything is horrible, there's no peace, it tells me that you're not living with hope. The Bible says that the byproduct of this author of hope are these attributes of hope, and we find to fill you with all joy and peace in believing. First of all, joy. Nehemiah said, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Philippians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul encourages the church at Philippi, and he says, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ and die is gain. The attributes of hope, first of all, a joyful life, walking in joy. Why? Because I know that my hope is in Jesus. The second thing the Bible says is that of peace. The Bible says again in Philippians, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Now this is what I declare to you in these attributes of hope. How is it that Paul could speak so much about joy and peace when he's physically incarcerated? He writes this book of Philippians from a position of incarceration, and he's writing them, how in the world would we ever see a prisoner wearing a sign that says filled with joy, or a prisoner that wears a sign that says full of peace. How in the world can he have these attributes? Well, he has those attributes because his hope was in Jesus. The attributes of hope, joy, and peace. The author of hope, Almighty God. Would you notice verse number 13 again? The Bible says that there's an abundance of hope. The Bible says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope. Well, I tell you what, hope breeds hope. The recognition of fulfilled hope breeds more hope. I want to read to you a verse, and I know we hear this often, and I probably quote it often because I think it's so important as we consider the hope that we have in God. But listen to this verse. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Did you ever tie those together? Did you ever tie together all the things that I listed out in God being the author? Did you ever tie together Elijah on Mount Carmel with the prophets of Baal to your details in daily life in 2024? Did you ever tie together that the God who parted the Red Sea and brought tremendous victory in the defeat of all the Egyptian army? Did you ever tie together that the God that is there in the book of Exodus that brought that defeat is the same God that's with you in the car when you're driving to work? Did you ever tie together the God that brought Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego out of the fiery flames because they would not bow the knee to the golden idol that Nebuchadnezzar had created? Did you ever think that that same God who did all of that is the same God that's with you there in the house and can be the one that's directing your family? How often do we really go back and study the Old Testament and all of these things that have been written aforetime so that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope? We have hope in Jesus Christ, the abundance of hope. You say, Pastor, what are you going to do, or what are we going to do for all the ages in heaven? Well, I tell you what, we're going to have perfect understanding there, but I'm waiting. I want to hear a lot of stories rehearsed. I'm going to be like, guys, let's act it out, okay? Tell me what it was really like. I believe Nebuchadnezzar will be there, Daniel chapter 4. So I'm going to say, hey, king. He won't be the king. Right. Okay. All right. King, would you tell us what it was like with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego on that day when you told them you were going to throw them in the fiery furnace? Go ahead. I want to hear that story again. Boy, what is it going to be like to hear story after story after story? Hey, Peter, tell us what it was like to walk on the water. Peter, tell us what it was like to be arriving at the house where they're praying for your release. And you're already released. Peter, tell us that story. We can go on and on and on. And boy, I tell you what, just when all that's done, I'll be ready to hear the first story again. And in the middle of that, we're going to have all kinds of singing. And in the middle of that, praising the Lord Jesus Christ because He's the one that's made it all possible. Friend, would you go back to the Word of God and you say, Pastor, I've just not had much hope. You're not looking at what God has done in the past. And that same God who did all of that in the past is still on the throne today. Hope brings hope. And that's what the Bible is saying here, that ye may abound in hope. Well, Pastor, I'm not very hopeful today. I'm facing this. I'm not very hopeful of this or that. But I'm telling your hope can abound because your hope is in the right place if it's Jesus Christ. The author of hope. It says He's the God of hope. The attributes of hope, joy and peace, the abundance of hope, that you may abound in hope. And then look at the avenue. The Bible says, through the power of the Holy Ghost. But ye shall receive power After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. We are so blessed to have the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit of God. When you were born again, you got all of the Holy Spirit that you're ever going to get. You're not waiting on more of it. There's no baptismal waters that change the amount of it. But boy, I tell you what's exciting is when you see someone that's known Jesus Christ as their Savior for some time, and now the Holy Spirit of God is getting more and more of them. Hey, you know, they don't talk the way that they used to talk. They don't act the way that they used to act. The Holy Spirit is getting more and more and more of them. And they're becoming more matured in their responses and more matured in their faith. That avenue, my friend, by which all of this hope is accomplished and fulfilled is found in the Holy Spirit's working in your heart and life. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Almighty God desires for you and I to walk in victory and to be full of hope. To be full of the Holy Spirit is to be led by the Holy Spirit. It is to be full of hope. 1 Timothy chapter 1, in his opening verse of greeting to that young man Timothy, Paul says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the commandment of God our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. My hope is not in wealth. My hope is not in the White House. My hope is not in the courthouse. My hope is not in the schoolhouse. My hope is not in man. My hope is not in technology. My hope is Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this tremendous verse of truth. Thank you for the authorship of hope. Time would fail me here to be able to go through all of the passages of Scripture to demonstrate to these dear people how out of darkness you shone forth the ray of hope. You are the author of hope. As we read through this, we understand that actually we should have some attributes from that same hope. We ought to all, as believers, walk in joy and peace. We're not tossed to and fro by the uncertainty of the world, but we have the calm assurance, our Father planned it all, and my hope is in Him. And I can walk in joy. As we speak on the matter of hope, hope breeds more hope when it's found in God. And we can have an abundance of hope. I know that those outside of these walls would say, oh, your hope is misplaced. God is dead. No, no. God is on His throne and He's directing. And through the Holy Spirit's power, every believer can walk in great victory, confident. We look forward to the great appearing and the glorious appearing of our blessed hope, Jesus Christ. And I pray that 2024 would be a year in which we really live out this theme. My hope is Jesus. I don't know that in my lifetime there's ever been a time in which I've been more uncertain about our nation, but that is not changing my eternity because I am certain about my Heavenly Father. And I know He wasn't worried at the start of this whole thing, and He's not worried now that we're towards the end of it. And I pray that this morning, in this time of invitation, that people, if they don't yet have this same hope in their heart, that they would trust Jesus Christ and here in the beginning of the year, meet the ultimate hope the blessed hope, Jesus, the one who gave himself for all. Maybe Christians this morning that are uncertain about the coming year and that just are unnerved by everything that seems to be happening around them. Would you help them to lock in on the great truths of the Old Testament and the New Testament, that their heart would now be full of joy and peace? Help us to be filled up with the Holy Spirit. May He have total control and say in our lives. Perhaps there's someone this morning that just needs to come to the old altar and just say, "There, Lord, I'm releasing all of these things to You. You know, for the longest period of time, I haven't had joy in my life. For the longest period of time, I haven't had peace in my life." Really, it's a symbol. It's a sign that their hope is misplaced. I pray that You'd convict each heart this morning as to the specific need that may be here in this hour. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. With heads bowed and eyes closed, would you stand to your feet with me this morning? My hope is Jesus. Can you say that about your heart and life? Is that your testimony this morning? My hope is Jesus. We started out this morning with a great song about hope, and I'm going to ask the instrumentalists this morning if they can look back at that. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and His righteousness. Whatever that song was this morning that we begin the service with, as she begins to play that this morning, is this true in your heart and life? Or is your hope misplaced? Is it directed towards someone or something else? And you'd say this morning, you know, Pastor, really 2023 was a year of difficulty and misery. Well, I tell you what, lift up your eyes and look to Jesus Christ. Having your hope in Him breeds joy and peace, calmness and assurance. God is on His throne. I need not fret. I need not worry. If you don't yet know Jesus Christ as your Savior, we invite you to come and meet Jesus this morning. Perhaps your life has been affected by religion and riches and your own righteousness. Boy, Jesus can deal with that all today. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. And you can come to the Father through His shed blood. Anyone at all, you step out and come this morning. Pray there in your place. Come here to this altar. Lord, 2024, I desire for it to be a different year. I want my hope to be in Jesus. As she plays one more stanza, won't you do what the Lord would have you to do today? We are headed into what I believe to be some very uncertain times in the year 2024. But you know what? I serve a very certain God, and He has it under His control. What a great chorus. For me, He stands. Why don't we close the service this morning by